Today we're going to talk about commitment. I'm going to read out of Hosea, or Jose, whichever you prefer. No, just kidding. We don't have a book, Jose. Hosea. You can turn there if you'd like, Hosea chapter 14. And I'm going to read the entire verse, or the entire chapter. And it's really kind of a springboard into our message and into where we'll be going. We'll be in the New Testament for the rest of the message. But Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 through 9. And I want you to listen very carefully to the words here. And it says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously. For we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. I want you to remember that phrase. For we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands. You are our gods. For in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be received like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hosea is proclaiming these things, saying it's time to come back to the Lord. It's time to come back to him. But I love the phrase that says, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. How many of you guys have ever heard, yeah, I hear you talking, but that doesn't mean anything. Different phrases along with that. You say this, but you do this. We want, when we say that, when we say that our lips will offer sacrifices, when we shall worship with our mouth, we want our actions to follow what we sing about each and every week. You know, if you look in the bulletin, there's quite a few birthdays in October. I went to visit one of our good friends yesterday, Paul. Paul Houck, and he's in the Veterans Center down in Norman. And I visited him a couple weeks ago, as I told you, with Miss Dorothy, and we had a fantastic time. Well, Paul will be 91 October 15th. I know it says 90 in the bulletin. He'll be 91 October 15th. Yesterday's visit was not quite the same. He wasn't doing well. And I walked in, I said, Paul, how are you? And he said, I'm not doing too good. And he was crying. And I said, how can I help you, Paul? He said, I don't know. I'm afraid. I said, Paul, what are you afraid of? And he said, I don't know. I just can't stop crying. But I'm afraid. The point, we can't just talk about taking care of the body of Christ. We have to do it. His nephew and niece that have looked after him for many years from Missouri were down there. And Paul grabbed my hand and he said, would you pray for us right now, Adam? Just pray for all three of us right now. And I knelt down and I prayed for them. And I prayed for God to take away all Paul's fear, possibly his anger, his pain, his suffering. You see, Paul's been through a lot. We're preparing to celebrate Veterans Day next month. And Paul never liked celebrating that. You see, Paul had many bad memories of his time in the military serving our country. I helped Paul up. We walked around his room. It was a short walk, but for Paul, that was a lot for a man that's been in his bed. Because Paul wants to get up, and what does he want to do? He wants to take care of his cattle. He wants to go home and feed them, because this is what Paul has done. We can't just say we'll do these things and not look after our sheep. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about being involved in the lives of each other, being interested and involved in. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. Just a short verse we'll read, Matthew chapter 10, and then we'll jump over to Mark chapter 7 after that. So Matthew chapter 10. By the way, we're circulating a birthday card for Paul. If you haven't signed it, please get with my wife sitting in the back row there before you leave. And let's try and sign that, everybody. I told him I plan to visit him on his birthday and hopefully before his birthday as well, which is a Wednesday on the October 15th. So in Matthew chapter 10, lip service. Chapter 10, verse 32. And it says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father." Now quickly, before we forget that, turn over to Mark chapter 7. Verse 1. Because we think we have a free pass sometimes. Oh yes, I said I'm a Jesus freak. And I told other people I believe in God. And I'm a Jesus freak. But our actions following that. In Matthew or Mark chapter 7 verse 1 it says, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem." We know from Wednesday night in our Bible study, Jerusalem was a big place for praise and worship. The big temple, all this stuff going on. So the Pharisees and scribes came. "Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is, with unwashed hands, "they found fault." Remember the Pharisees? They just kind of stood around the corner going, "Oh, you didn't wash your hands. Whoop, by the way, you healed someone on the Sabbath, not supposed to do anything." They were the ones hung up on all these rules. They found fault in them because they had unwashed hands. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands." And notice it doesn't say just wash their hands, but in a special way. Now some of you may be germaphobes out there. I get the special way is at least 20 seconds. Some say at least 30. I get that. But I get the feeling this is just a little bit different than that. "They do it in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches." Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Why are you guys doing this and not following policy or laws?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Uh-oh. They honor him with lips, but their hearts are far from him. We can proclaim Jesus Christ all we want, but if our hearts are far from him and our actions are far from living that godly life, it's the hypocrites that Isaiah prophesied about. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things that you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you can keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. Making the word of God of no effect. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down and many such things you do. When he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Can you imagine going to your disciples going, please, you don't get it either? What's wrong with you? I explained it to those dummies out there, but you guys too don't get it? Do not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but it enters his stomach and is eliminated, thus purifying all food. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. You see, the Pharisees and Jews, again, were concerned about a certain tradition. It didn't have to do with godliness. It didn't have to do with God's commandments. And they put those traditions before the commandments that God had given. You see, we have to commit to what we're doing with more than just our mouth. We have to commit to what we're doing with more than just attendance. We have to commit to what we're doing with more than just our money. You see, we get caught up in these rituals and traditions, and sometimes we get caught up in listening to teachings of others. We have to be very, very careful when we read the Word of God that we can discern when people are trying to distort this truth. This is truth right here. And when people try and distort that, we have to be discerning people. We have to understand they're trying to lead us away. And sometimes we miss God's basic desire for us. What's His desire for us? That we can come to know Him. That we can believe in Jesus Christ. And the fact that He took His spot on the cross for us. For our sins. Not so we can go on doing it. But He took our place. And then to share that good news with other people. We have to take that message to other people. You know, a few weeks ago, I made some comments. What if a homosexual were to come in our church? What should we do? And I know that kind of rocks some people's boat. Do we accept them? Do we love them? I kind of left that answer up to you guys, if you remember. I didn't really answer that. But it really bothered some people. And some people thought my question was really my tolerance of it. Or maybe they just took that comment and made whatever they want. I don't condone that. This church will never bless that kind of a marriage. Just for clarification, because some of you it really bothered and thought, my God, would they marry? No. Who said that? I said, should we love them? What if our friends from the Buddhist temple came over? Do we allow them in? Do we love them? We have to be careful because the Bible says the enemy is stalking, constantly looking, waiting. But it also tells us you love your neighbor. And I think sometimes when we just love people where they are, you know, we had some horrible events last week that Eric talked about that happened down in Moore. And sometimes rather than talking about our differences, if we can just show them love, and when I say show them acceptance, I'm talking about just in the world. Some of you may have come from a background where your parents didn't really even accept you for who and what you were. You needed acceptance. We all need acceptance. And I know God says, I will accept everyone, I will love everyone. But He also says, watch out for the just punishment for your sins. I don't know that we can really rate sin, but there certainly can be differences in punishment that God dishes out for those sins. I simply ask, do we accept those people? Do we love them? God's basic message is love one another. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Very familiar. Should be to most of us. And it simply talks about faith. And it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I like that. Well, let's turn, keep going a few more pages to James chapter 2. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. James is right behind Hebrews, so go to James chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read what the Bible says about faith. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith alone save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. And I just picture someone blessing them and sending them on their way. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by his faith only. Verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Joel Osteen made a comment I saw last week that I really liked. I don't know if you like or don't like him, but I like this statement. And it said, people can be committed to church and not be committed to Jesus Christ. Man, all right, everyone got that. Okay. You can be committed to this church and not be committed to Jesus Christ. But you cannot be committed to Jesus Christ without being committed to the church. Do you get that? We can be busy doing stuff, and that goes back to busy doing church work, but we're not doing the work of the church. It's commitment. I don't want people committed to prayer or faith. I want people committed to Jesus Christ. That will make them committed to prayer or faith world outreach. Why is attendance declining in churches in America today? There's a couple different reasons. Self. We pull ourselves away. That's our only day off. That's my only day to sleep in. I don't know how long it takes you to get ready. We don't start till 10:30. Your job's usually 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock for some. Man, you can sleep in a while here. We're into ourselves. Other people don't feel that the church is doing enough. If that's your opinion here, get with one of us. Let us know. We want to do more. Great. What are you willing to do? I never understood. Pastor Jack would say, so-and-so said they wanted a Sunday school class. I said, great. Do you want to be in charge? I thought, just because I want it doesn't mean I want to be in charge. But I get what he's saying now, that it takes someone to be there and teach it. Why don't we have Sunday school? I don't know. You willing to teach? No, I can't do that, man. I'm just too tired. But we have opportunities all over. We have a sock ministry going on. We have the shoe boxes right here. We have the water we're trying to provide through Samaritan's Purse as well. We have the local regional food bank we're sponsoring meals for. Guys, we have a $2,000 goal, and I purposefully didn't put that out there before now. I just said we want to provide this many meals. We have a $2,000 goal to meet by the end of this year for the water and the food bank ministry, just so you know. That's not a whole lot of time. That's right. You can write a check today if you want to be done with it. I don't care. But that's our goal. We have opportunities to assist people all over. But we have opportunities in our own church body to call and check on one another, to pray for one another, to lift one another up. Turn back to Hebrews now. To chapter 10. Commitment. Again, I don't want commitment to prayer or faith as much as I want your commitment to Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That tells us to be in fellowship with one another regularly. We just can't get the same thing staying at home. Now, hop back up to verse 24. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The assembly will get us involved in those things that support our faith. Our faith is saying one thing. are assembling, is getting together and doing things together and stirring us on. Stirring up love and good works. We get to find out about other people when we talk together. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. It is hard for us to remember, as it tells us here, verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. It's hard for us to remember our pastors when we don't come to church. We can't remember what they said because we weren't there. It's telling us to be in fellowship. It's telling us to be committed to be here. Yeah, there's going to be the occasion where we go out of town, we have vacations. I get that. This church body needs you, but more than that, Jesus Christ needs you. He needs each and every one of us to believe in Him, to love one another, to spread the good news of the gospel to other people. Oh, he's closed his Bible. He must be done. Amen. You know, we're all sheep. We are all sheep, and we all have the good shepherd. And within that, God appoints other people to be shepherds over us. But let me tell you, a sheep outside of the sheepfold is alone, is helpless, and is vulnerable. And if anyone in here ventures out alone, be careful. You see, in school and in our young lives, a lot of times, sex, drugs, alcohol, etc., smoking cigarettes, whatever, weed, whatever, those things are all offered to us as a substitute for peace, for comfort, for escape, for missing love, for feeling inadequate. They're there to make us feel better somehow or about ourselves. Let me tell you, this sometimes is no worse than someone offering bad theology or bad religion to you to make you feel better, to make you feel more comfortable, when they offer those things to make you feel better about yourself. You see, it takes faith and it takes works towards the body of Christ to bring all that stuff together. You can be committed to the church and not Jesus Christ. But you cannot be committed to Jesus Christ without being committed to the church. Amen. Today, just ask yourself a question. Are you committed to the church or are you committed to Jesus Christ? And whatever that answer is, I hope it leads you to transformation, wherever it needs to, wherever it can. But ultimately, it's what drives change in you. I can make an altar call and say, man, if you need change, so be it, come on up. But as my aunt said a couple weeks ago, as I shared with you, she wasn't ready. For 40 or 50 years, she wasn't ready. You see, she wanted to hang on to that. And I just read a letter from her 3 days ago, 4 days ago, that said she wanted to hang on to that revenge. And she wanted to get it. Now, this is a woman that professed to be a Christian all her life. And not just a Christian, but, man, the best Christian. She knew the real way there. See, when she got on the elevator to heaven, she just had to pass it one button and it skipped all those other floors. She had the secret way to get there. And it took somebody years later to tell her, man, you need to let that go. She just missed that message, got caught up in all the theology of the Bible, and missed the message of the Bible. Like the Pharisees, got caught up in washing her hands a certain way, but missed the message of fellowship, of loving one another, gathering together with one another, accepting one another. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, those of you that have tattoos. Laren, we already know you have one because your dad talked about it in a message, so we're okay. So that one, I love those tattoos. Okay? And I love you. And I prayed diligently for you while you were traveling, for you and Austin and your safety. And my point is, her tattoos are different. The various beards we have going on in the church, they're different. I don't care. No, you just didn't shave. You don't have a beard. The various clothing that we choose to wear. We got some of them, they're motorcycle riders. Uh-oh, they're in a gang? This is how we think. We start looking at people differently. Our young people. I don't want any one of us caught up in theology. I want us absolutely caught up in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for offering up your Son to take our place. God, that's a debt we can never repay. We can never repay that. Heavenly Father, we just pray today. I pray today that the Holy Spirit drifts in this place. Drifts in this place in a manner that may smack some of us around. Other people may just settle slowly on us. And it calls us to a change. The Holy Spirit calls us to a change in our lives. What drives us and motivates us? Father, what drives us and motivates us to change our lives, to honor you? God, in the areas of our lives that don't honor you, that don't glorify you, help us to acknowledge that to ourselves. Help us work towards a change in our lives. Lord, help us be committed to Jesus Christ. Not just the church, but to Jesus Christ and the work that He has us do. To accept one another, to love one another, to believe in Him. And to spread the good news of the gospel. God, we can do that in so many different ways. Through our giving, to our missions, through our shoe boxes, just through our actions alone with no words spoken. God, whether it's a visit to one of our church members, just a call to say, how are you doing? Let us love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.